Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And the title of the sermon this evening is Drinking Alcohol Makes You Stupid. Amen. Drinking alcohol makes you stupid. You say, where'd you get your outline for your sermon this evening? I got it from the dictionary. I just looked up what the word stupid means, and I'm not just making something up. I'm not just being exaggerative. It literally makes you stupid by every single definition of the word. So I just took, hey, what does stupid mean in the dictionary? Well, their first definition, it makes you slow of mind, to be slow of mind. Their second, given to unintelligent decision or actions, acting in an unintelligent or careless manner. Their third, lacking intelligence or reason. Their fourth, dulled in feeling or sensation. Their fifth, marked by or resulting from unreasoned thinking or acting. Number six, lacking interest or a point. And number seven, being vexatious or exasperating. And look, drinking alcohol fits all of those categories. Every single one. We're going to see the Bible teaches the same thing that science teaches. Science teaches the same thing that the Bible teaches because God's a God of knowledge. Amen. Now, I like this verse because it's real clear. If you believe that drinking is a good thing, you're stupid. And look, the more you drink alcohol, the more you believe it, and the more stupid you get. Now, go if you would to Isaiah chapter 28. It's kind of in the middle of your Bible. After Proverbs, just a couple more books over to the right. Isaiah, one of the first major prophet. Look at chapter 28. Now, before we get there, in Acts chapter 2, a pretty popular verse, a pretty common chapter of the Bible, you see men are speaking with new tongues. They're speaking in other languages. And the Jews, they get confused and they say, man, are these guys drunk? And when Peter answers, he says, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour in the day. Now, if we take our 7 points that we got from the dictionary, what was the first point? Drinking alcohol makes you slow of mind. It slows your mind. It makes you slow. And this is what you see common with a lot of drunks, is they start slowing their speech down, man. Have you seen me, brother? I've been, you know, just hanging out. And what's going on? They start talking very dumb. Why? Because their mind begins to slow. And so they start speaking in a dumb way. They start speaking very stupid-like. And we see in Acts chapter 2, somehow they confuse, you know, speaking with a different language as them being drunk. They kind of misapply that. But we see where they're coming from in the fact that there's just something that's unintelligible all of a sudden. They can't quite understand what's being said. Look at Isaiah 28, verse 6. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. So what are they saying? He's saying these are some of the symptoms of drunkenness, of drinking alcohol. Well, you start erring in your vision. You start seeing things that aren't there. Things become blurry. You can't really see very clearly. This is just a common, well-known symptom of drinking alcohol. You start to lose your vision. You start to lose the ability to be seeing things clearly. Now that you start stumbling. Drunks, they can't really walk right. This is why whenever a police officer pulls someone over, what kind of test do they do? They say, hey, walk a straight line. And the guy's kind of like, I'm walking a straight line. You know, it's like, look, you're not sober, buddy. Or they'll say, touch your nose. And they'll be like, here's my nose. You know, because they're slowed in their reactions. They're not able to do what a normal person does. They look stupid. It's stupid, it's shameful, it's idiotic. There's no glory in that. There's nothing righteous in that. Now, go, if you would, to another place in the Bible. Actually, we're gonna take a break from the Bible for just a minute, all right? I was going to go back to Proverbs chapter 21, but But I'll just read it for you. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, what would you call someone who's not wise? Stupid. And guess what? Most people, when they think of drinking, what they think of is the short-term effects. Right? And the Bible clearly shows the same thing. Hey, they have the short-term effects. You start drinking, you can't see well. You know, you start losing your trains of thought. Use your slowing speech. You can't do anything that's a normal function. You're slow. But they don't realize that this can also happen in the long term. As much as it happens in the short term, there's just the same effects in the long term. So I got an article that talks about developing alcohol-related brain damage. So it says, essentially, alcohol is a toxin. Now, this is not coming from the Bible. The Bible says it's a poison of dragons. So the Bible says alcohol is a poison. And guess what? Science says it's a toxin, too. What's a toxin or a poison? It's something that's harmful to your body. Alcohol is always harmful to your body. There's no benefit. Zero. None. Now, they say, essentially, alcohol is a toxin. Well, basically, I mean, it's really just poison. Thus, it primarily impact on the body, especially when consumed excessively, is harmful. Heavy drinking or binge drinking 5 or more days in the past month can lead to long-term brain damage that simultaneously damages other areas of the body. So he's saying, look, if you drink a lot, just 5 times in a period of a short space of a month, that's going to have a long-term effect, guaranteed. It's not even questionable. Science is basically proving the fact that when you drink a lot, you will have long-term effects. What's that long-term effect? You'll be stupid. You'll be slow of mind. You see these people that can't even think? We went to this apartment complex, and we have all these old people, and they can't even think straight. I bet a lot of them are drunks in their past. I bet a lot of them did some binge drinking in the past. And look, obviously when you get older, things start to deteriorate and wax old. But I've met plenty of people that are 80, 90 that can still have a good conversation, are still sharp of mind. I bet they didn't mess with a bunch of drugs and alcohol and all these mind-altering drugs. Now, how alcohol causes brain damage is it says when alcohol enters the body, it travels from the stomach and intestines through the bloodstream to various organs. And the liver spikes in blood alcohol content caused by heavy drinking overload, its ability to process alcohol. So excess alcohol journeys from the liver to the other parts of the body like the heart and central nervous system. Subsequently, alcohol moves through the blood-brain barrier, affecting the brain's neurons directly. There are over 100 billion interconnected neurons in the brain and central nervous system. As a toxin substance, drinking alcohol can damage or even kill neurons. So what is alcohol? What does it do to the body? Well, just from a basic science lesson, when you drink poison, when you drink any kind of toxin, your body has an organ built to try and fix this or try to help the situation. It's called your liver. Your liver tries to dispose of toxins. The problem is, if you have too much poison, the liver is not able to process this toxin or poison quickly enough. So what happens is it gets spilt over into other organs or other parts of the body. This is why if someone just has a little bit of alcohol, okay, people will say, well, they're still sober, or they're still able to be functioning or fine because they've had under the limit, quote unquote. Even though they're clearly already having some types of lapse in judgment, it's already scientifically proven. But if we just basically understand what happens, if you drink too much too quickly, basically the alcohol doesn't have anywhere to go because the liver can only take so much. So since it's overflowing, it's going to go to other parts of your body, including your brain. And when the alcohol's in your brain, it's going to destroy brain cells. It's going to destroy neurons that are in your brain. You're going to cause long-term permanent damage to your brain. And when you have brain damage, guess what? You're going to be stupid. You're going to be slow of mind. This is why you have all these consequences of the drinking. It says research shows that sustained periods of drinking lead to overall shrinkage of the brain. Not only that, it can literally decrease the size of your brain. This is where you get the terms like pea brain. You want to be a drinker? You're going to be a pea-brained idiot, a moron, someone who is stupid. Now, alcohol is often described as a downer because it slows down signals sent between neurons. Didn't the Bible already, you know, explain this to us? I mean, the Bible's, you know, clear as the day is long. Didn't the dictionary already tell this? They're not going to be able to speak well. They're going to be stumbling. Additionally, certain automatic brain processes controlled by the cerebellum and cerebral cortex are impaired or slowed. Breathing, balance, processing new information, It also slows GABA neurotransmitters, resulting in slurred speech, lethargic movements, and reduced reaction time. Conversely, alcohol causes the rapid release of glutamate neurotransmitters, responsible for dopamine regulation in the reward center of the brain. This creates the warm, fuzzy feelings many associate with drinking. Now, God created our body to release certain, you know, enzymes or hormones or just effects in our body that basically tell us things, like pain. I preached a whole sermon about how certain parts of your body will release certain signals to the brain saying, this hurts, okay? Also, the brain does the same thing with joy, with happiness. That's called dopamine. Now, what modern science has done in a lot of ways is they say, well, someone's unhappy, let's just inject them with dopamine and make them happy. This is your antidepressant drugs, okay? But it's fake. It's not a real stimulation of your brain to actually say that you're enjoying something. It's faking it. Well, guess what alcohol does? It fakes enjoyment. It makes you think that you're enjoying something that you're really not. Your brain's telling you, you like this. You like the fact that you're being fed poison. You like the fact that you can't talk right, that you can't even walk right, that you look like an idiot. Somehow your brain says, that's great. And that's why it's saying in Proverbs chapter 20, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You know why? Because the wine's deceiving you. It's lying to you. It's telling you you like this. But guess what? It's lying to you. You're being deceived when you think that, hey, this is great. I feel so good. But somehow it's tricking your brain into thinking you're liking something that's destroying it. Imagine if you touched fire and somehow it felt good. I mean, you're burning your hand off. That's a dangerous thing. And that's why alcohol is so dangerous, because while it's simultaneously destroying your brain cells, it's telling you somehow you like it. Wicked. I'm going to keep reading this article. It says, these short-term effects of alcohol, though potentially dangerous on their own, mask long-term damage. Alcohol can cause damage to the hippocampus region responsible for memory creation, is severely affected by drinking and blackouts, leading to short-term memory loss and brain cell death. Repeated blackouts, a clear sign of excessive drinking, can result in permanent damage that inhibits the brain from retaining new information. So they're saying, look, just because most people associate drinking with the short-term effects, they're usually masking the fact there's a lot of long-term damage that happens to excessive drinking. It says the popular drinking term wet brain actually refers to a condition within the alcohol-related brain damage family known as Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. The disease consists of two separate but linked forms of dementia. Those with an alcohol use disorder are commonly malnourished due to poor diet. Often this leads to a thiamine deficiency because alcohol blocks a person's ability to absorb or use the vitamin. Nearly 80% of people with AUD have a thiamine deficiency. Many will develop brain damage like Wernicke-Korsakoff's syndrome after years of heavy drinking. So you say, what is this? Well, it's Wernicke encephalopathy is another, you know, fancy, you know, scientific term for this disease. But you say, what is this? Well, basically, because you're drinking all this alcohol and you're not eating right, you have such a bad deficiency in your body, you start developing serious diseases and serious illnesses. These illnesses include confusion, paralysis of eye muscles, difficulty with muscle coordination, impaired learning ability, and forgetfulness. Now, what was my number one point from the dictionary? Slow of mind. And guess what the long-term damage effects are? Your slowness. Slowness in your muscles, in your eyes, in your brain. It's literally going to make you stupid by the first definition of the word. Alcohol makes you stupid. It even says later you could get alcoholic hepatitis, which is an inflammation of the liver, meaning you keep using that liver way too much and exhausting it and damaging it to where it will also change sleeping patterns, alter your mood, give you anxiety, depression, short attention span, shaking hands, problems with coordination. It says, finally, alcohol-related brain damage may be present in infants subjected to alcohol while in the womb. There is no known safe level of alcohol consumption during pregnancy because of the risk of fetal alcohol syndrome. Alcohol travels through the umbilical cord to the fetus, where the undeveloped body is unable to process the substance properly. In the U.S., half of all pregnancies are unplanned, and women may not know that they're pregnant until 4 to 6 weeks. Thus, the risk of developing fetal alcohol syndrome is high in women who drink without using effective forms of contraception. So they're saying, look, since most women are whores, and smokes, you know, and I guess they're not taking their, you know, birth control enough, and they're drinking a lot, I mean, these are some messed up women, then they're also destroying their babies that they don't even know that they have yet. So the baby that they're having, they're drinking the alcohol, and here's the symptoms. Small head size, distinct facial features, hyperactivity, shorter than average height and weight, impaired learning ability, low IQ, sleep and sucking problems during infancy, poor vision or hearing, heart, kidney, and bone disorders. Not only will drinking make you stupid, it'll make your baby stupid by drinking alcohol. And that's why most places that even serve alcohol, they have like statutes from the state government that say, look, it's illegal for us to serve alcohol to anybody that's pregnant. Now, if it's so damaging and so hurtful to people who are pregnant, why is it okay for me to drink it? I mean, I'm never going to get pregnant either. But they're just basically admitting, hey, this is a toxin and a poison. It's going to destroy your baby. But it's okay for other people to drink it. I mean, it's okay for a man to go and destroy his body and his mind too. Look, this stuff is poison. There's nothing good about it. And it makes me sick how you can't find any preacher to preach against it. You go to 99% of churches today, they all glorify drinking to some degree. Oh, it's a blessing in moderation. It's a blessing when you do it right. Look, there's no way to drink poison right. You know the best thing to do with poison? Throw it out. Get rid of it. I don't want to ingest it, especially my wife or my children. This is horrible. If you drink alcohol, it'll make you stupid in the short term. It'll make you stupid in the long term. It's going to slow your mind. What was the second thing the dictionary said, though? Go to Leviticus chapter 10. So that's it for just the article. It's interesting how science says the same thing. But apparently, you know, nobody believes it. I mean, even Christians today will justify drinking when the world condemns it. I mean, the world condemns drinking and driving. The world condemns alcohol in many places. Yesterday, we got to enjoy a great fellowship of the guys going out and shooting. Guess what one of the rules was at the shooting range? Zero alcohol. No alcohol allowed in the shooting range. I wonder why. Oh, is it because it's super dangerous? Oh, is it because it's going to slow your reaction? It's going to make you stupid? And you don't want stupid people holding guns. That sounds real dangerous. I want you to have a clear mind and be smart and be intelligent. Look at Leviticus chapter 10. So what is someone that drinks a lot? They make unintelligent decisions. They start acting in a very careless manner. I don't want someone acting like that with a gun in their hand. Look at verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So we see these two sons. God just gives them all the commandments super clear, says you better obey every single one of them, and they just go and do something that he told them not to do. They just come up with a crazy, stupid idea. You say, where'd they come up with this crazy, stupid idea? Well, the Bible does not say dogmatically where it came from. But when you read the chapter, it really leads to one conclusion. Look at verse 8. So God kills these guys, and then this is the next thing he says. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So, that's interesting. Two sons do some stupid, crazy thing. They're super careless in the house of God, and God just kills them. And then he says, guess what? You and your sons don't drink in my house, lest you die. I wonder if that's connected. Now, like I said, you can't be super dogmatic, but I think the Bible paints a pretty clear picture here. And guess what? When you drink stuff, you make dumb decisions. You're very careless in your actions. People that drink often hurt themselves very severely, not knowing what they're doing. Falling off things, breaking their hands, driving drunk. I mean, you're going to kill yourself real quick when you're not sober. Go to Proverbs 23. We'll get a real dogmatic, you know, place in the Bible where it says people are careless. And look, I hear this all the time. Drinking's not a sin. Who's heard that? Drinking alcohol is not a sin. The Bible never says that drinking alcohol is a sin. I've heard this so many times, I can't count. Now, when we go out soul winning, we say everybody's a sinner, right? And I say, what's a sin? It's a transgression of the law. So, for something to be a sin, there has to be a commandment against it, right? But guess what? There is commandments against drinking alcohol. So guess what? It is a sin. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine, when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. So we see in verse 31, the Bible tells us there's a beverage we shouldn't even look at. What does he mean by that? Don't even touch it. Don't put it on your mouth. Don't drink it. I mean, I've never heard somebody try to say, well, it's okay to drink alcohol as long as you don't look at it. You just kind of can find it. Obviously, this is telling us even drinking alcohol is a sin. It's a sin to look at it. And look, I'm not saying, hey, I spotted the beer truck drive by. That was a sin. It's obviously in coordination of, you know, looking at it, touching it, tasting it, partaking in alcohol. Okay. Now, I've never heard somebody that tells me drinking alcohol is not a sin explain to me what beverage I'm not supposed to look at. I say, okay, well, the Bible tells us there's a beverage we're not even supposed to look at. What is that? Is that fruit juice? What is that? Orange juice? It's clearly alcohol. It tells us that this beverage changes its color and it moves itself aright. What is that? It's fermentation. And look, it's super clear. If I take a bunch of grapes in my hands and I just squeeze them into a cup, it will not be red. If you've ever squeezed a grape, it's clear. So you say, how does it get its color? Well, it's called fermentation. They take the skins of the grapes, they put them in there, and it dyes them. As it ferments, as the yeast gets in there, as it mixes, as time goes on, it starts to move and shift, and it deteriorates. Now, what would happen if I took some really good food, let's take the food that we served yesterday, okay? And I just let it sit out for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. What's going to happen? It's going to rot. It's going to decay. It's going to turn into something toxic. I'm not going to want to eat it. So shocker, when you take a drink and you let it just fester and fester, it becomes something toxin and poisonous, and I don't want to drink it. Why does that make it good to drink? It's not something that a Christian should have anything to do with. It's unclean. The Bible says, look, drinking is unclean activity. It's an unclean beverage. Just like I don't eat rotten food, I'm not going to eat rotten drinks. It's not something that's super hard to understand. So when you see wine in the Bible, it could be wine that's fresh. Now, is wine that's fresh anything that's bad? Is food that's fresh anything bad? But guess what? Fresh wine is not alcoholic. If I squeeze any kind of fruit juice into a cup, it has no alcohol in it. I mean, if you scientifically tested it, maybe it's like 0.0001. You know, people say the same argument about sesame seeds. You're going to say, oh, sesame seeds, you know, or drinking alcohol. Obviously, that's not what the Bible's teaching. It's saying, look, when this thing's rotting and, you know, a toxin and a poison, do not drink it. Look what it says in verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So we see this guy is real careless. I'll just lie in the midst of the sea. I'll just lie on the top of a mast. That sounds like a real good place to be. You say, what's the top of a mast? It's like a ship, and they have like a long pole that goes up in the middle, and they have a little tiny area that you can sit at. And usually it would be someone to kind of look out for like icebergs or look out for danger, pirates or whatever. But you don't want to just take a nap up there. You fall off, you're going to die. I mean, this is the type of attitude drunks have. They don't have any sense of awareness, any sense of danger. They do things that are careless. Why? Because drinking alcohol makes you stupid. It makes you careless and make dumb decisions. Go play in the street. Go play with fire. Play with guns. Do all kinds of all manner of things to destroy your life. Flip over a couple of chapters. Go to Proverbs 26. You say, I want to hurt myself. Okay, well, get drunk and just, you'll be fine. You'll hurt yourself real quick. And you'll look real stupid. Proverbs 26, verse 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. So the Bible's saying, look, just as stupid as a fool with a parable is the drunk guy who constantly hurts himself and he doesn't even realize what he's doing. What is the Bible teaching? Everything about alcohol is wicked. It's going to make you stupid, so stupid, you would literally pierce your own hand with a thorn and not even know what's going on. Hey, watch this guy. This is cool. Huh? I'm going to stick this thorn in my hand. This is like your Joel Osteen trying to explain to you the parables of the Bible. It's so stupid. It's so foolish. It's painful. It's painful to watch. You're like, what are you doing? What are you saying? Go if you would to Isaiah 29 now. So we looked at a couple things. It makes you slow. Not only that, it makes you careless. It makes you do things that you make, just really dumb decisions, putting your physical well-being at harm. And look, it's not short-term, just only short-term. It's both short-term and long-term. But not only that, what was our third dictionary definition? Lacking intelligence or reason, brutish. So it's just someone who's just not smart. I think this is the definition I usually think of when you think of the word stupid. Just someone who's not smart. They're just dumb. They just don't know things. They're a dunce, is what the Bible's saying. Well, look at Isaiah 29, verse 6. Say yourselves in wonder, cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Now, what is the Bible teaching here? It's taking a physical truth to represent a spiritual truth. Now, the Bible does this in lots of different places and lots of different ways. And he's saying, just the same way as someone who's drunk can't understand things, is stupid, that's how I'm likening these false prophets with the Bible. They can't understand anything. They become too stupid. You hand them the Bible and say, explain this to me. I'm like, I can't. I don't know it. I'm unlearned. I can't read it. I can't understand it. I don't know what it's saying. And look, just like a drunk person, you hand them something, they're going to be too drunk to understand it. They're incapable of learning anything while they're drunk. They're just an idiot. And God's using that physical truth to say, this is what like your prophets are like. Even though they're not physically drunk, when they get the Bible, it's like, oh, I can't understand what's going on in this book. And isn't it so interesting? Go to Micah chapter, keep your finger here, and go to Micah chapter 2. It's in the middle of your minor prophets. Isn't it just a coincidence that all Calvinists love drinking? I mean, they love to defend their alcohol. They love to defend their beer and their wine. Look, these guys are idiots. These guys are more, they can't understand the Bible. The Bible's saying, look, these guys don't know what the Bible says, and you have to be drunk to believe in Calvinism. You have to be drunk to believe that nobody has free will. Well, maybe it makes sense because, you know, when you start drinking, you lose your free will. The alcohol takes over. The alcohol starts controlling you. You start doing things that you didn't even know you wanted to do, you thought of ever doing. I guess they're like, I guess that's what God's like. He's just making me drunk and just making me do stuff and controlling me. Look, you literally have to be under the influence of drugs and alcohol to reject the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody's sins. The fact that, hey, all you have to do is believe in him and you have eternal life. Oh, but that's a condition. Guess what? The Bible used the word if a whole bunch of times, and it really means if. It's not like just a joke. Well, I know it says if there, but, I mean, do we really have a choice? And not only that, Calvinists, they think everyone's reprobate. I'm not joking. If you go to Romans chapter 1 in the ESV, and basically the Calvinist Bible, it doesn't say reprobate, it says depraved. Now, what's their first point of TULIP? Total depravity. They literally think you are a raging homosexual pedophile murderer unless God elects you. So they don't believe in the doctrine of the reprobate because everybody's reprobate. And it's just basically, if God elects you, then you'll magically come out of your reprobate state and be this elect, saved Christian or whatever. He's just controlling your actions. Well, of course, if God's not controlling your actions, you're going to be this reprobate, sodomite, pedophile or whatever. No, that's not what the Bible, you have to be drunk again to believe these idiotic things. Look at Micah 2, verse 11. If a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Now, in the context, I'm not going to give you the whole context like for reading, but it's basically he's rebuking them, saying, look, y'all are away from God. Y'all are doing wickedly. And it's like your prophets, they're getting up and telling you it's great to drink. It's great to drink alcohol and drink strong wine. He's like, that's what your prophet's like, because you're so wicked, you don't understand anything, you're so stupid, your prophets must be getting up and just telling you, just drink, buddy. What? Tomorrow we die, so let's just drink up. Let's just drink, drink, drink until we all become stupid enough to believe in Calvinism. Now go back to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah chapter 19. Like, I've seen a Baptist church have, for their hymns, they call it beer and hymns. They literally, in the congregation, people have a Coors in their hand while they're singing the hymns. How wicked. How ungodly. Look at Isaiah 19, verse 11. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof. As a drunken man staggereth in his vomit, neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. Again, when God wants to represent someone that's really stupid, really wicked, doing things that are wrong, he uses a drunk guy to describe it. Now, obviously, he's not even saying these people are literally drunk. He's saying the actions that they're doing, the only way to represent them is to compare it to someone who's literally drunk. A drunk laying in his own vomit. You say, what is drinking like? It's like people laying in their own vomit. It's disgusting. It smells horrid. You go to a bar, you know what it smells like? Piss and vomit. You go to a place where people have been drinking in a party, it smells like piss and vomit. Why? Because they can't control themselves. They're not smart. You're not around somebody with vomit all over them thinking, this guy's real smart. This guy's real intelligent. You're like, what's wrong with you? What's going on, man? You're laying in your own vomit. There's literally been people who die choking on their own vomit. They're just laying on their back and they vomit and then they choke and die on their own vomit. How stupid. This makes me think of cows. Cows, if they get a cold to where they can't breathe through their nose, you know what a human does? It opens its mouth and breathes through its mouth. A cow won't do it. A cow will literally not be able to breathe and then fall over, passed out. And then involuntarily his body will kick in, open the mouth, so it'll start breathing again. But it's so stupid, it doesn't even know to open its own mouth to breathe. And look, this is like the drunk guy. He's so stupid, he can't even just lay over to get the vomit out of his own mouth, he'll die. And look, I think when Christians, you know, start messing with this stuff, when they know better, they're going to get the worst of it. You better know that God's going to punish those that have the right knowledge. Look, there's no good reason to drink. It's harmful. It's poison. It's damaging. It's going to destroy your brain. Now go up to Genesis chapter number 9. So what have you learned? Well, if you drink alcohol, you're going to be slow. You're going to be careless. Not only that, you're going to be brutish. What is brutish? Being stupid. Being dumb. Not smart. Not intelligent. Someone that people look at and say, wow, this is not a guy I want to learn from. This is a guy that I don't want to talk to. You know who I don't want to talk to? Drunk people. They're dumb. They're really stupid. And people that drink a lot, guess what? They're dumb. They're not the smart. You look at somebody that you really respect. You think this guy's really smart. This guy's really intelligent. They're not a drinker. They don't drink alcohol all the time. The people that drink all the time are dumb and idiots and stupid. It's not somebody I'm going to model my life after. You know what? The world will look at some people that are rich, that drink a lot, and somehow they'll be like, well, this guy's really smart. Look, you don't have to be smart to have money. And look, these beer makers and these beer manufacturers and people that, you know, make money through wicked means, they probably do drink their minds out. But guess what? If you had a conversation with them, you'd be like, you're the dumbest person I've ever met. You believe in aliens, and you think a rock is where life came from. And they're just dumb. They're just stupid. You don't meet smart people who drink all the time. Doesn't happen. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he was planted a vineyard, and he drank of wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. So not only that, drinking will make you vulnerable. He just starts drinking. Now he's just laying naked in his own tent. And what was the fourth thing that the dictionary said? It will dull in feeling or sensation. So now you're not aware of certain things that are going on. You're just dulled. All your senses are dulled. Now you don't even know what's going on. Now what happens? Look at verse 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces went backward. And they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. If you want to be molested, if you want to be taken advantage of, get drunk. Because it'll make you so stupid, you'll be so dulled, you'll be so out of your own mind that people can do whatever they want to you. This is why people, they draw all kinds of perverse and wicked images on people's face. When they get drunk at a party, they do all manner of wicked things to them and take pictures of it and then blackmail them later for it. You want to be in a lot of shame. You want to look really stupid. Get drunk so people can take advantage of you. You want your son to take advantage of you? Get real drunk. That's what it has in Genesis 19. For sake of time, I'm not going to turn there. Go to Habakkuk 2. Go to Habakkuk 2. We see this over and over and over again. What's the first mention of wine? Well, there it was. Noah getting drunk and his son doing something to him when he's naked. That sounds like a good mention. That's real positive. That's a blessing. I don't want that. I would rather have all the other. I'd rather die in my own vomit than that. Not only that, Lot, his two daughters, get him so drunk that he doesn't even know that they lay with him, and both of his daughters are impregnated by their own father. He's so drunk, he doesn't even know that it happened. Why? Because he got so dulled in his mind. And look, I've seen people, they're so blacked out, they don't know where they are, what they're doing, and all manner of evil and wickedness can happen to them. And it does happen to them. And they wake up, they don't even know what happened. Why am I so bruised? Why do I feel different in a place that I didn't want to feel different in? The world is full of sodomites today. It's full of wicked, horrible whoremongers and evil people. You start getting drunk and being vulnerable, bad things will happen. In 1 Kings chapter 16, again, I'm just going to give you some of these stories. But we see a guy, he gets so drunk that his servant comes in and just kills him because he's just not aware. He's just vulnerable. People get people drunk just to kill them. It happens over and over again. Here's a really bad one. Look at Habakkuk 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Oh, here's your other sin. Not only is it a sin to just look at alcohol, it's always a sin to hand somebody a beer, to hand them a glass of wine. You want to hand somebody a drink? Sin. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him. Look at this word, and. So guess what? All of these are sins, not just combined. Some people say, oh, it's only a sin when you force somebody to get drunk. No, it's a sin to just hand someone an alcoholic beverage. It's a sin to put pressure on someone to drink alcohol, but then he takes it to another extreme and makes them drunken also. So it's also bad when you force someone to get drunk. And what was this guy's motivation? That thou mayest look on their nakedness. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Ham, the father of Canaan, makes his father drunk so that he can do something to him when he's naked. Now, when you read Habakkuk 2, it's pretty sobering in the fact that this is a guy, woe unto him that maketh his neighbor drink and maketh him drunken also. This is a guy getting another guy drunk so that he can take advantage of him. And you know, when you listen to the stories of these reprobates, most of the time they were at a bar, some older guy gets them drunk and takes advantage of them for their first time. That's their first time of becoming a sodomite. That's how they got in the sodomite lifestyle. They were literally raped by another sodomite. And look, this is their modus operandi. You want to go out and be with the world? Guess what the world has to offer you? Getting taken advantage by sodomites. That's not what I want. You go to San Francisco and drink in their bars, you better watch out. You better be real careful what's going on. That's what it's going to make you so stupid that you can have the worst things imaginable happening. You can be so dulled that people can do all manner of evil to you. I want to always be sober. The Bible says to always be sober. I want to be able to watch out for myself. I don't want to get into these dangerous, horrible situations. Go to Daniel chapter 5. So you learn what? Drinking makes you slow, it makes you careless, it makes you brutish, it makes you dulled. Seems like the dictionary and the Bible on this one are just synced up. I didn't even have to go too far. I just read the dictionary definition. I said, that sounds like a good outline. All those are in the Bible. Look at Daniel chapter 5. Here's the next point. According to the dictionary, it says alcohol will make you stupid by resulting from unreasoned thinking or acting senseless. Now, we had a similar point. We had one being careless. Careless, just being really careless with your physical body, putting yourself in physical danger. Senseless, though, could also mean putting yourselves in all kinds of other bad decision-making that's not just a physical detriment. Isn't there decisions that you want to make sure you don't make that wouldn't necessarily physically harm you? How about emotional decisions? How about relations with your wife? How about relations with your husband? Now look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives, his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver. So we see what? Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he decides he's going to have a drunk party. And he then makes a really senseless decision. You know what would be really cool? If we start drinking alcohol out of God's cups, out of God's holy vessels that we had. Guess what? God doesn't like that. And not only that, then they start praising the gods of gold. God gets real angry. Guess what happens to this guy? Well, God just writes on the wall with his finger, hey, you're done, buddy. Many, many tekel uvsarjan. Okay, and then Daniel comes in, interprets it. He says, look, your kingdom's numbered. You've been found wanting. You're going to be destroyed. And in the same night, he was destroyed. But why did he make such a dumb decision? Because he's drinking alcohol. It makes you so stupid, you'll make dumb decisions, senseless decisions, a decision he would never make in a sober mind. You say, I would never do that. But when you drink, you'll start doing things you would have never imagined doing. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We already read in Proverbs 23, so I'm not going to read for you again. But it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. You know, a lot of adultery, a lot of fornication in this world happens because of alcohol. And a woman will wake up and says, I would never lie with that guy. What was I thinking? Oh, it was the alcohol. It was the alcohol that I drank, and it caused me to be with somebody I never would have been with. Or a man, he decides to drink alcohol. Now he's with some woman who's not his wife. Look, the Bible doesn't say maybe you'll do these things. It says thine eyes shall behold strange women. What's strange mean? It's not saying she looks weird. Now, if you go to the bar, guess what? Most of the women are weird looking. They are ugly. They have weird detriments to their face because they've been drinking so much. And the only people that will lie with them are all the guys that are drunk that can't even see straight. But not only that, he's saying strange means just someone you don't know. It's just someone that's not your wife. It's just meaning you're not familiar with this person. You're just going to start looking at people that are not your wife, and then you're going to start saying perverted things. Hey, have you ever been to the bar? Guess what guys do? They look at women that are not their wife and say perverted things. And you know what happens? Then they end up making senseless decisions and ruining their marriage, ruining their family, committing adultery, getting a disease, killing somebody. I mean, all kinds of horrible things. What does drinking do? It removes all natural restraint. Whatever morality you think you have, when you start drinking, it's gone. You don't have it anymore. You lose your filter. You lose your inhibitions. You can just start committing adultery. You say, I would never commit adultery. But guess what? When you start drinking, that's gone. Now that filter, now that governor's off, you can drive as fast as your car will go. Unfortunately, my truck, it has a governor on it. So even when you try to go like at a certain rate, it'll just stop you. But look, drinking alcohol would be like taking that governor off. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's the opposite of being filled with the Spirit of God? It's being filled with the spirit of alcohol. That's why you go to these buildings, they call them spirits. And look, they literally are. They will literally control you. They will make you do things you didn't want to do. They will make you senseless. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 in the middle of your Bible. So we're kind of looking at some different verses. And if you study the word wine in the Bible, it's used like 233 times. I mean, this is not a minor topic. And people say, not one time does the Bible say that drinking's a sin. And I'm thinking like, what verses are you not reading in your Bible? Because I could just like basically just drop my Bible open and there's probably somewhere on the page that condemning alcohol somewhere. I mean, and you read through Proverbs, it's just condemning it over and over and over. You read through the New Testament, it still condemns it. Throughout the Old Testament, you constantly see people dying and committing adultery and getting taken advantage of and doing all manner of wicked, evil things because of alcohol. Oh, alcohol's not a sin. Just an idiot. That guy must be stupid too. He probably drinks too. He's a prophet of wine. But not only does drinking do all these things to you, it will make you do things that are pointless. Like drinking. Drinking in itself is pointless. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. He's saying, look, why are people drinking? Well, I guess the guy that has no point in his life. There's just no more meaning in his life. He's just ready to die. He just thinks, woe is me. I'll just drink because my life's pointless. I have nothing better to live for. Look, it's not fun. This guy's just boring. You look at something, you say, this is stupid. I don't want to do it. What do you mean by that? It has no point. It has no benefit. And it's saying, just give it to the guy that's ready to die, that's lying in the gutter, that has no more meaning in his life. The guy just wants to throw it all away. Well, life's pointless. I guess I'll just drink myself drunk. I have nothing better to do in my life than to drink. Well, guess what? I have lots of better things to do, like play with my kids, like talk to my wife, like go to church, like read my Bible, like work hard. These things have meaning and value. That's why I don't drink. Amen. You know, the people that drink, they have nothing good in their life. Oh, I guess I better just drink. Everything's just, it's not fun unless I'm drinking. Sounds like you don't know how to find fun, buddy. Sounds like you don't know how to enjoy anything that has any real value. So you just do something pointless and stupid and boring, like drinking. Go if you would to Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 in the middle of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 21 says in the law, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Look, there's young people today. They have no point to their life. They don't want to work. They just want to play video games and drink alcohol and do drugs, and they're a detriment to society. And the Bible says, put him to death. This guy has no point to his life. Don't exist here. You're just going to ruin everybody else, make everybody else be dragged down with you. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 20. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. So you say, well, where was the alcohol in this? Well, here's the thing. Just because it doesn't use the word wine or alcohol doesn't mean it's not condemning alcohol. And look, even though the Bible has 233 mentions, there's thousands of mentions about alcohol. And look, what is asot? That's an older word. Asot is a drunkard. Asot is someone who just does something meaningless like getting drunk. They're not sober. They're not taking things seriously. And he's saying, look, my children are sottish. They're all a bunch of drunks. Why? Because they're stupid, they're foolish, and they have not known me. You know the people that don't know God? All the drunks. You know all the idiots in this world? It's all the drunks. And he's looking at his group of people, the children of Israel. He says, y'all are all sottish children. That's when I look at America. They're all a bunch of sots. They just all go to the football game and drink until they're so drunk they don't even know what's going on. And they just come home and they keep drinking. And then the next night they want to go drinking. And you go to every single workplace and they all want to drink. And they have drinking parties. And it's all about going to the bar. And we have happy hour later now. Look, America's a bunch of sots today. They're so sottish, they have nothing to live for. It's pointless. Life is just pointless to them. And guess what? These type of people, the only meaning of life is to get drunk again. They just can't wait to get drunk again. That's all they can talk about. I can't wait till happy hour. I just can't wait until the weekend when I get so drunk. I just can't wait to get the football game and drink 10 beers. I just can't wait to drink hard liquor again. And they just have to drink every day, every day, every day. That's the point of their life. The point of their life becomes just drinking because they have nothing else better to live for. And the Proverbs is saying, look, give it to the guy that's ready to perish, because when you go down this dark road, your life becomes pointless. It becomes meaningless. Drinking alcohol will make you so stupid that the only thing you care about is pointless junk. Pointless, foolish, dumb, boring junk. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to touch it. Let's go to our last point. Go, if you would, to Psalm 69. Psalms chapter 69. So what have we learned? Look, it's going to make you stupid. It's going to make you slow. It's going to make you careless. It's going to make you brutish. It's going to make you dulled. It's going to make you senseless. It's going to make you pointless. A lot of words, a drunk probably would have no idea what I'm saying. He thinks I'm speaking in tongues because he's so stupid, he doesn't even know any of the words of the Bible. He doesn't even know how to read a dictionary. You hand him the book, he says, I'm not learned. I don't know. Tell me. Here's another one, annoying. It'll make you so stupid, you're annoying. The dictionary said vexatious or exasperating. So it's vexatious. It's someone that's really distressful. They make you nervous. I don't like being around people that are drunk. It makes me nervous. I'm nervous for them. I'm nervous for myself. If you see somebody on the road that's like swerving, that's a dangerous situation. It makes you really stressed out. It's not a good thing. Not only that, it's really annoying. It's really annoying to be around someone that's drunk. You don't want to talk to this person. You don't want to enjoy them. That's why everybody else just gets drunk. And they just, nobody knows what's going on. It's like toddlers talking to each other. Have you ever watched toddlers talk to each other? I mean, they're like, it's like, you know, they don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. This is what drunks are like. They're like children. You have to babysit them. They can't control their body functions anymore. Like a toddler, they pee on themselves. They use the bathroom on themselves. They're vomiting on themselves. They can't dress themselves. Look, you know how many people get drunk? Look, they don't even know how to put their clothes on. They just go get naked. They're like a toddler. You want to be a toddler? And toddlers are not known for being really smart. Just FYI. Toddlers are very foolish. They make dumb decisions. They're very stupid. You want to look like a toddler? Start drinking. That's what toddlers sound like. That's what a drunk person sounds like too. They sound the same, they act the same, and it's really annoying to have to watch an adult drunk. And look, the good thing about toddlers is they're little. Because, you know, toddlers, everything they do is with all their might, right? I mean, when they're excited, they're like, yeah! And when they're angry, they're like, ah! But the good thing is they're tiny. But when an adult is using all of their force for all of their emotions, bad things start happening, right? They're throwing chairs, and all things are getting destroyed. That's why when you go to the bar, everything's bolted down, and it's just metal. You know, there's bars on the windows. Why? Because it's like a toddler gymnasium for adult people in their diapers. And it's all a bunch of vomit and disgusting and filthy. And look, we should laugh at it because it's stupid. Amen. And the people that drink are stupid. And it's annoying. Quit drinking. Why don't you have some respect for yourself? Act like a man and put away childish things. Put away the poison and the deception. You're not wise when you start thinking that drinking's cool. Look at Psalms chapter 69, verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, and the truth of thy salvation. Now, clearly, Psalm 69 is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the fact that he was mocked at, he was spit upon, he's going to the cross, he's their reproach. He says he's the song of drunkards. And you know what these drunks do? They're blasphemers. It's so vexating. It's so annoying. And you know what they like to do? They like to sing, don't they? They go to their stupid karaoke bar where they all sound like garbage, where nobody would pay 5 cents to hear any of them sing, and they love it. It's so annoying. It's so stupid. Go if you would Isaiah 5, last verse we'll turn to. Isaiah chapter 5. I wish I had heard some hard preaching on drinking alcohol. I wish I knew how stupid it was, what a terrible decision it was, how there's nothing good about it. And some people, liars, they'll say, oh yeah, drinking a glass of wine, you know, once a day is good for your heart. You know what's good for your heart? Drinking fruit juice. You know what's bad for your heart? Alcohol. If you drink the fruit juice, you'll get the same benefits for your heart that the wine would give you, but you won't get all the poison with it. The alcohol itself does not give you any benefit. Zero. None. And somebody that'll lie through their teeth and say, oh yeah, drinking alcohol is good for you, they're a liar. And most scientific articles will have enough integrity to say, look, this thing's just bad in every single way. If you go to California, now I was trying to think, what's like the worst state? And I'm in California, okay? And you look at their driving, you know, if you go to their just DMV, and they give you their chart. They say, when is it okay to drink and drive? They have their big chart, and they say, at what point is it okay to safely drink and drive? They say at 0%. 0% alcohol is the only safe driving. At 0.01%, it's no longer safe. According to the state of California, you're going to tell me one of the most godless, wicked states in this country says that you can't even drink any alcohol for it to be safe and drive. And then Christians get up and say, oh, it's okay to drink. It's okay in moderation. Even though the state of California disagrees with us. When the state of California is more godly than you, you have problems. You have some serious problems, my friend. Go look at the chart. They say zero, the only safe place to drive. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Look, the bad thing about alcohol is it's addicting. And the Bible's saying, woe unto them. There's people that are constantly waking up, and the only thing they want to do is drink. When you realize that's the only thing you want to do, you're in big trouble. You're already down a dark road. You need to run screaming in the other direction. And look, this is the point of their life. Drinking will make you so stupid, the only thing you'll want is to drink. That will become your life, drinking alcohol. And people that drink a lot, if you were around them, they only want to talk about drinking. They can't wait to drink. They got so much drinking. They got so much beer and alcohol and wine and liquor in their cabinets. They want to bring you over to drink. They want to go out to the football game to drink. If you were going to go to a restaurant that doesn't serve alcohol, they'd probably get upset. They probably wouldn't want to go. And look, we as Christians should be different than the world. Amen. You go to the non-denom church today, they drink at the same rate as the world. They do the same things as the world. God's church should not be like that. They should look at us and be like, wow, they're all smart. They're all intelligent. They all know the Bible. They can all read well. They all don't sound like a bunch of toddlers pooping and peeing all over themselves and vomiting. They aren't, you know, ruining their lives. They actually have a point to their lives. They're spending time with their children. They're teaching their children things. Their children are smart and educated. We should be a good testimony when we go out. We shouldn't have a beer in hand. Hey, you want to hear about Jesus, buddy? What an idiot believes in that. I had a guy tell me. He said the only way I was going to get this guy drunk, the only way I was going to get this guy saved is by going to the bar and having a beer with him. Wicked. Ungodly. We need to, as Christians, to stand against this type of a sin. And look, this preaching is not popular. You know why? Because people want to drink. Because people are deceived by wine and alcohol and liquor. And the world condemns it. The Bible condemns it. And you're going to be stupid if you drink. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for giving us such great commandments that help us avoid foolish things. That you can teach us to be wise through thy commandments, that if we would hearken on all thy statutes and all thy commandments and all thy laws, you would make us wise. I thank you so much that we can have meaning in our lives, that we can have wives and children and church and the Bible and jobs. And I pray that we would never take these things for granted, that we'd actually enjoy them and be diligent with them, that we'd never be caught away in the deception lies of alcohol, that we'd never want to go and be, you know, get ourselves drunk, that we'd never, you know, get involved with all this filth and this poison and this toxin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.